Hey, this is the Bigfoot Pro Wrestling Podcast, episode number 157, part two, with the one and only, our weirdo hero, the Defy worldwide champion, Ravenous Randy Meyer. And this week we're going to get into a whole bunch more stuff. We're going to talk some more Defy matches, some opponents he's had up in ECC Dub, the likes of Daniel Maccabe, Funny Bone, Demigod of Death, Verose Twins, Nicole Matthews, Beef Boy, and then we're going to get into him taking on Schaff at Defy for the one and only Defy Worldwide Championship, and he pulled off the miracle, the upset, the amazing thing that night, which no one, I don't think, expected. It was fantastic. We talk about that whole moment, and then we get into a little Q&A. I got some questions from the fans sent in, and we go through those, and so that was really fun, and I really enjoyed talking to Randy, two-parter. Check out part one that dropped this last Monday. You can check them out on all those places we listen to our stuff, you know, part one, and then part two. Really appreciate it. Hope you enjoyed both shows. Hope you'll enjoy this show, and hope you enjoy all our great shows to come, which I'll tell you about in a minute. But hey, before I tell you about that, just real quick, I know this is an extra podcast this week, but I want to let you know about our sponsors, because we couldn't do this show each and every week without them. The one and only, our friends over at Nacho Mama's Food Truck, man. Check them out this Saturday. They're going to be at Urban Family Brewing in Ballard from 1 to 7 p.m. And then Sunday, Karn Brewing in Kenmore from 3 to 7 p.m. Let me tell you about those specials here real quick. Let me get those pulled up here. Full Tilt Nachos, Cheddar Cheese Sauce, Spicy Chicken, Chipotle Mayo, Sweet Bell Peppers, Pickled Jalapenos, Sour Cream and Cilantro, and then the dessert, the sweetness that week, if you will, Dark Chocolate Brownie with Pomegranate Jam, man. Check them out, Chris and Sandra. Nacho Mama's Food Truck, NachoMamasSeattle.com, at Nacho Mama's SCI on Twitter, at Nacho Mama's Seattle on Instagram and Facebook, and hashtag nachos and beer. And just so you know, that's all to go. You can go to these breweries, bring your growlers, or buy a growler at the place, get it filled up, go over to the Nacho Mama's Food Truck, or vice versa, whichever way you want to do it. Order your chose to go, baby. Get them in the to-go containers. You know, they're going to do a, basically you won't have to really touch anything, but it probably putting your card through the reader, you know, not much more than that. So check them out. It's going to be a great experience getting your beer, getting your nachos, and heading off, taking them home, and, you know, putting on something on some kind of wrestling channel or something, or watching your favorite movie and just having a fabulous time, man. But you know, just told you Randy Myers, what we talked about this week. Coming here next week, you're gonna hear from the one and only Sarah Rose at Stepstool Sarah X on Twitter, and she is the new commentator for Without a Cause Wrestling over there on independentwrestling.tv, taking over there. And I know she's working on the I Love Whack show right now as this podcast come out, so hopefully we'll be seeing that here in the next week or two. But we'll be talking to her, dropping this next Monday, and then the week after that, the one and only Jim Valley, Portland wrestling historian, podcast personality, host over at the Pacific Rim Wrestling Podcast over there, I believe on the Wrestling Observer, and going to talk to a bunch of fun talk about a bunch of fun stuff with him, you know, Portland wrestling especially. Can't wait to tap his brain a little bit on that. And then the one after that, Rich Borchini from Defy and MLW Wrestling, man, the voice over there. We'll get into a lot of good stuff with him, and can't wait for that. But let's get to this week's show. Follow me on Twitter at BFPW Podcast. Hear the recent podcast over on SoundCloud as part of the Pro Wrestling Only Network, and all the archives over at Bigfoot Pro Wrestling, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and what's the other one? Oh, yeah, Google Play, and probably wherever you can find your podcast, we'll be there. And, baby, I am the L-Train. We're leaving the station, and thank you so much. So let me go to the next show that I was looking at here, and I'm going to ask you about this guy. He's one of my favorite technical wrestlers around the Pacific Northwest. He's been doing a lot of good things, going overseas, doing some stuff. And you took him on at Defy Age of War on January 3rd this year. The one and only Daniel McCabe, man. And what do you think about that fella?
Oh, I think, like, I've heard about McCabe for quite a while. Like, he's friends with some of the guys out here. And I'd never, like, done... I'd seen some of his work, but I had never, like, we never, like, really interacted too much. A couple times, crossed paths at ECCW, but this was, like, our first, like, true, I don't know, more meeting, even not just in the ring. So we really got to know each other. And another, like you said, like, a technical wizard, and one of those people that you just know eats, sleeps, and breathes wrestling, and also has a flair for punk rock. So I can appreciate that for sure. But yeah, no, definitely, like, it's another person that you didn't see a while ago in wrestling. You wouldn't have seen necessarily a performer like Daniel McCabe, for whatever reason. But like, now being that the wrestling has kind of opened its doors more to, like, all types of different types of people with, all different types of views on wrestling, it's great to see people like McCabe getting an opportunity that he deserves. 'Cause, like, he's worked hard at wrestling. He obviously, like, loves it, and he's a technical wizard, and it's fun to go in there with somebody like that, especially because I was trained in a fairly technical style that I don't practice all that often. But to go in there with somebody and know that I've got to kind of bring up that side of my game, it's fun, always fun to do.
Yeah, man, I love him because I always tell him, I like it. You get down, kind of work a leg, work an arm. You know, he kind of works everything down on the ground. He's kind of a ground, just kind of wrap you up kind of thing, from what I see anyway. Sure. Reminds me of some guys like Tully Blanchard and Arn Anderson, and some of the guys back in the day that just kind of work a body part. Even the guys at the Revival right now in the WWE, I think they're going to be leaving there soon, but they just kind of old school workers, just work a body part. And I like that about Daniel.
I like that too. I like that. It's a great way to tell a story. And one that's kind of gets overlooked can get overlooked in the high spot style of wrestling. But when you can kind of meld those two together, it's such a perfect blend of storytelling where you've got, like, the fast and then the slow mat-based stuff as well. And I don't think that should get lost at all, where, like, we see a lot of other moves, like, flashier moves done more often. But then there is something to be said about, like, actual, like, wrestling. People can, or, like, on the ground, submission style based wrestling, people can understand that. They know what it's like. They can just sit there and torque back on their foot and be like, I don't want that. That sucks. They can, it's realistic, and it's a great way to perform too. And it's a smart way to take out your opponent. If you take out a limb, well, then they're down a limb. If you take out each limb only by 10%, it's not going to do nearly as much damage as taking out one limb by 40%.
No, man, from a guy that watched wrestling for a long time now, I love it when wrestlers, take out a limb, you know, make it look like it's really like, okay, man, that guy's struggling now. He can't stand up on that leg now. You know, he's in big trouble. And I love stuff that comes out like that sometimes. Not all the time, you know, just one of those things that comes up. Yeah, that's great. I love that.
Sure. If every match was that way, if every match was any way, I think it would get to a point where people were just tired. And that's what's great about the circus that is wrestling, is we can all bring our different styles. And so, yeah, to make it all this, like, crazy mismatch, smorgasbord of all the best of everyone.
Dude, I'm going to throw a few names at you real quick, and then I'm going to get to the match I want to talk about here in just a second, the big match that you've had recently. Your last match, I think, right?
I think so, yeah.
Just a few names here. I'm going to throw them at you. Just give some quick thoughts. You know, recently I think you've taken on a guy named Funny Bone. What do you think about him?
Funny Bone, the demigod of death.
That's right.
I like to think that when I wrestle him, that I'm the demigod of sex. Yeah, he's a great performer, creative, another creative soul, and like just pushes it, like so much dedication, so much grind, like always out there hustling, whether it be on the merch end or whether it be on booking end and weird. What a freaking weirdo. And I love that. So I'll take it.
Wrestling fans love the weirdo characters, man. And yeah. And a couple guys I really love, they recently got back from Europe, the Varos twins, man. I love these guys. Your thoughts on those gentlemen?
Oh, I first met the Varos at a gym in Surrey, one of them came in and I was like drawn to this person right away. And I'm like, oh my God, this, like, I don't know. I just turned my head and had that, like, just like not dead on, but like that Justin Bieber, like, star child quality, you know, who is this person? And then there's the twin walked in and I didn't even realize I'd gotten up from the bench I was working out at. And I was beelining it over to them. And I was halfway over to them before I realized I was even walking. And then I'm like, okay, so now, and then I just walked up to them and talked to them about the Hebner dual twin angle storyline, like the two referee storyline from back in the day. And that was the first thing I asked them. Do you remember do you guys watch wrestling? Do you guys know the Hebner twins? And then right from there, they were starting to get into, they were actually at the gym trying to build up some mass so they could start wrestling training. So it was like kismet that we met each other. And since then, we like struck quite a strong bond with each other. And just, I hope nothing but like the best for them. I to quote Alanis Morissette, I hope nothing but the best for you both. You know, like they're and they've got hustle too. Like they're unique. I'm pretty sure they're aliens. I've never met anyone quite as weird as them, except for each other. They're delightful, and I hope that they eventually find another set of twins that love each other as much as they love each other, so that they can all love each other in unity, and that they can get their dreams of becoming WWE tag team champions, because I want that for them so badly.
Oh, I would love to see that. I love those guys. They're always so great, and just watching them on social media.
Yeah.
Always having fun, selling it, you know, just having a good old time.
Yeah, they know who they are, and it's true. Like being you turned up to 11 is what the best wrestling characters are, and they are, I don't even think they need to turn up to 11. I don't even know if they have a scale. I don't even know. They're just, they are that 100% of the time. There's no inauthenticity with them. They're really that weird, and yeah, they're great.
And I probably asked you about this person the first time we talked. Arnley was able to listen back a little bit of the podcast we did before back in 2018 of August, but Nicole Matthews, man, you've been an opponent, she's a friend, probably a trainer.
Yeah, no, we've trained together for we've known each other for years. We've trained together a lot. We've been tag team champions together. We've fought each other in the ring. We've been in multiple stables together. She is Canadian wrestling to me. I don't think it needs to be like labeled necessarily. I think we're getting away from labeling genders and stuff like that. So she's one of the best performers I've ever seen. Again, another person that can do all styles in the ring. All of her stuff looks crisp. She's dedicated to making this next class of wrestlers just the best they could possibly be, so that to leave a legacy behind. And just a genuinely good person, hilarious. When something is said in a room, you know, you have those people that when something is said in a room that's just wrong and you want to talk to somebody but you can't, and you just look over and you see somebody making the same face you're making and looking at you the same way you're looking at them, like, what the hell is with this person? We're on that wavelength, which is always nice to have, like, so I don't feel so alone in certain situations when a person's acting a fool. If they're acting a fool, I know that she's always on the same page with me. So yeah, Nicole is like, I can't wait to like see where like the world takes her. And she's, yeah, phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Well, us here in the States are looking forward to when we can see her a little more, and hopefully that's sometime soon.
Yeah, I know. I couldn't agree more. She's just, her ball was really starting to roll, and she'd been working so hard to push that ball for so long. Mm-hmm. I still think I would never count that woman out, ever. So there's lots more to see coming from her, I guarantee that.
I wouldn't count her out if I saw her on the street.
No, never.
Wouldn't mess with her.
Even if I'm a referee and she was out of the ring for more than 10 seconds, even 30 seconds, I wouldn't count her out.
It's not at all. She'd put you down. But, real quick, your thoughts about this young man named Beef Boy is what he goes by in Canada.
I'm a big fan of Ty's. He's we could talk about Travis. We've talked about Icarus. Eli Surge is another one who's like a great, like, up-and-coming talent from up here. But the one I relate to the most would definitely be Beef Boy. The one I see the most kinship with would be him. It's this heart that seems just like bigger than he is. I think he just, when he walks into a room, he glows. I don't think he looks like necessarily like what you'd expect a wrestler to look like, which is great. And I appreciate that. And I think he owns it. And I just think that the future is bigger than he has any like clue of. And I think that's the best way to be. You know, I think sometimes you can get like too high on yourself, especially when you start wrestling and maybe you have a lot of successes early on. I've seen that you get bored quicker. It's more like when you work long for something, the more worth it is. Like you were saying about when these shows finally happen again, it's going to be, we've been waiting so long, it'll be taste that much sweeter. Mm-hmm. And I know that like I just don't know whether he knows how good he is. That would be my quote on him.
Nice. And how much
he's got potential. And I can't wait to see where it goes. More than anyone else in this territory or anyone else in the Pacific Northwest, if I was going to put my stamp, it would go on the Voros and it would go on Beef Boy.
Mm, very nice.
Yeah, I 100% beef. That would be my stamp.
100% beef. Hashtag 100% beef. There we go. Anyway, man, let's get to it. The Defy world title was up at Defy Kings of Crash, and that was on February 21st, 2020. Dude, I was there up in the balcony, and what a great night it was. And tell us about you taking on Shaft. No one thought it, man. You took home the belt.
That includes me. That includes me wholeheartedly. Hook me up to a lie detector test. That's the truth. I had, no idea going in that was going to be my night. I knew I was going to give it everything I had. And I knew that I had the talents. I knew that and any wrestler could beat any wrestler on a given night just if it's the wrong night for the other wrestler. So you never know, right? Like what state of mind they're in physically or their mind or emotionally. And that night I was just able to, like, I think Shaft had counted me out. Mm-hmm. I don't think he'd expected. I think he thought he was playing with me, that it was like, I think he thought it was just another simple, easy title defense, and it kind of was looking to his next match.
So basically looking past you.
Yeah, looking past me. Didn't see. And that was the thing. Like, me and Shaft have been friends since the beginning of Defy, since we first met. And we've been friends since then. We've had all sorts of different like opportunities with Defy, whether it be on doing the television show we did, like the breakfast show thing we did, or whether it be working on teams together. We've tagged a bunch of times, and I consider us real true friends. And then he makes some other friends, and and then just decides that I'm not his friend anymore. And I'm not going to judge you on who you hang out with, and I wasn't necessarily going to write off Shaft just because he became friends with the American Guns, or because he was feuding with Artemis, because him and Artemis always had that relationship. They were never on the same page. They were always foes in the ring. Where the difference was with me and Shaft was we were on the same team a lot of the time. So I considered us friends. Just because you're a good guy in the back doesn't mean you're friends with all the good guys. But in this situation, we were friends. So I think he just had always counted me out and had always looked past me, had never really thought of me as much of a challenge, even though he'd been in the ring with me and we'd seen what I could do. But it was that night I knew I was going to give it everything I got, because I knew this could be – I hadn't had a Defy title shot in a long time. My last one was against Swerve in Portland, and that was quite a while ago. So I didn't know when my next one was coming. So that was the night I had to, like, all those years of training and everything and kind of all that power of the fans behind me, I had to like use. And if it wasn't for the fans being so incredible at Defy and lighting my fire like they do and being the wind beneath my wings, I don't know what I would have done that night. Like, there was multiple times I looked out and like through the passage of energy from them, like locking eyes with me, I was able to like reignite the fire in me, where if it wasn't for that connection I was making with people, I would have just I probably would have been pinned by one of those, what, 37 German suplexes or something? Yeah. I don't know. I lost count after six.
Oh, I'm sure you were a little bit delirious after that. But one thing I'm sure you do remember on that roll-up, man, when that three count came, we all know what's up, but still.
Yeah, exactly.
You got the three count, and that's got to be the greatest feeling ever, man.
Yeah, it was. It was that noise. The world's been in, like, long before this virus, the world's been in a weird place. And to be able to, like I was saying earlier, where we look for art or look for entertainment, not only as entertainers, but as fans, as escapism, as a place where, like, good can win and what magic can happen. And that night, magic happened. And the fans sprinkled me with their magic dust as soon as the three count happened. The unbelievable happened, that you can defy the odds, that you can stay true to yourself and be honest and sincere and give it all you got, and giving it all you got matters. And yeah, and your love for something and your dedication and your pushing past the pain and hard times, really, in the most important moments, that's where it really shows.
Man, what an amazing night for you. And that sincerely had to probably, help with any lows that you had going on and help them turn up to the upside.
Oh, for sure. No doubt. No doubt in my mind. I had started new medication that week, actually, not long before that. I had gone on some Zoloft. It was the first time I had been trying that. And then, so I'm like, oh, this, it seems to be working. It seemed to be working well. And then it sure was working a lot better after I won the Defy strap. Let me tell you that right now.
So, did you go home, put that Defy strap in the fridge like everyone does? Oh, I'm just kidding. I don't know what you do with that after that.
But I woke my mom up and I said, Mom, look, I won the belt.
And that had a great
4 in the morning.
That had to be wonderful for you, that Defy decided to put, their faith in you as their champion.
Yeah. It means so much to me. Defy has been, I was at a point in wrestling where I was like, didn't know how much longer I had, like how much more I had to give, or when I started with Defy. And then it was like we just went through the list of match after match of these great experiences and growth and learning and evolution of me as a performer, as a character, as a human being, and realizing what kind of art I wanted to put out there. And they really, I wouldn't even say revitalized me. I feel like I'm fully me now. Like, I'm my Pokemon fully evolved version. I'm all the way, I'm not fully evolved, but there's more to be evolved, obviously. But I just feel like they've given me an opportunity to blossom, and for them to, and the great stuff that they're doing, the people backstage, the people that they work with, are all just like the kindest people I've ever met in my life. It's what I've always wanted from wrestling. I always wanted to be in ECW back in the day, because I felt there was just like that homegrown mentality, but also that connection and passion from the fans and the performers, that were all on the same page, and that sense of unity. And while ECW had more of that violence tendency, and Defy can bring the violence too, don't get me wrong, but there's that unity that you see within a punk rock mosh pit, or where there's just anarchy, but anarchy where the only rules are being good to each other. And Defy defines all the things that I've always wanted to be as a performer and more. So to be chosen to be, to represent them, means that it validates 20 years of me going slightly against the grain and feeling that things should be done a certain way, or there was a way that, not a certain way, but there was a better, that things could get better. And Defy represents wrestling getting better. Represent something I love, being better, and helping people and making a place where people who have anxiety issues or don't feel that they can go to a place that's openly known for being masculine, like professional wrestling, but can open the doors to everyone and make people who wouldn't feel safe maybe at other places that are known for being that hyper masculine, but opening the doors to that. And the amount of people that have come up to me telling me this is their first wrestling show and that they're going to come back, that they were scared that they were coming to a wrestling show, that they were scared of the way that the overall vibe in the room, and they were so impressed by the way that Defy handles themselves and handles situations and just the overall loveliness of everybody in the room is great. And that's my greatest compliment is when somebody comes up to me and they're like, oh, so my partner dragged me here or my child dragged me to this show and I've never been to a wrestling show before, but I absolutely love you. Mm-hmm. And I think Defy can do that, bring wrestling to a broader audience and show that wrestling, if you're interested and consentful, that it can be for everybody.
Oh, and I think all the wrestling fans from the Defiance, all the Northwest fans, and even the folks that maybe are just hearing about it right now are really looking forward to, you know, in however many months it is, to see Randy Myers defending his Defy Worldwide Championship. It's going to be a good time when we get there, man, and I'm so happy for you. Everyone in the Northwest is happy for you. A lot of people look up to you, you know, just because what you were saying there, you know, you put your anxiety and depression and things like that on your sleeves to help people, and people help you. And so I respect that so much out of you, Randy.
Well, thank you so much. I'm trying to aim to be the performer that I would have liked to have seen as a child. And yeah, so that's what I'm doing. And the outpour has been incredible, and I appreciate it so much because it really does help me heal. And I appreciate that so much. And I'm so excited to get back in that ring. And I can promise all sorts of wild ideas have been brewing just in these few short days when I've been isolated. So there'll be some amazing, ridiculous fun when we get back there.
Oh, I got to think that a lot of, for your talents, your minds, you got to be thinking about a lot of good stuff that's going to be coming up, man. But we're running a little long here, but man, you still got time for a little quick Q&A from the fans?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, let's do it.
All right, man. Let's jump in here. Some of these folks you're going to know. And the first question is from @JBK Kendall Marie on Hello. Twitter. What advice do you have for all those weirdos who aspire to be pro wrestlers and those who are wrestlers?
Have fun. Hey, first off, hello, Kendall Marie. Have fun. You know, that's why we got involved in wrestling. We can take things too seriously, especially when we're passionate and when we love something and put so much of ourselves into something. But if we're not having fun, there's no point in doing this. So if you're not having fun, don't beat yourself up. And don't beat yourself up if you're not having fun. Find a way to have fun.
Oh, she's great, man. And she's doing a fabulous job on independent scenes, getting her referee skills going, seeing her at quite a few shows.
I have too. And I was really like, I saw her perform at the 5CC show. I've only done one of those. And yeah, she's phenomenal. And I'm really excited to see where she goes too. Like, I've said that a lot, but like, she's got like really potential that in avenues that I don't think everyone has. So the kind of emotion she can show in the ring and the honesty she's willing to be open with is great. I'm excited.
Exactly. All right. So let's see this. @WrestleAlex on Twitter. Let's see. What would you say to any haters you have? You know, there may be a few fans that mock you. And is it distressing for you?
Depends which way we go. I just recently had a fan. My people have been like incredibly nice to me, and I appreciate that tenfold, and I don't want that to change by any means. But it's almost shocking by the way the internet can sometimes be so aggressive. But the amount of aggression that I actually feel that I get towards me over the years, like I said, I got teased more for things before I was open about things. And to my haters, like recently I had a fan tell me that the biggest hate I've got recently was a fan telling me that they booed me at the Defy show, the last show, when I won the belt, was booing me the whole match, but they were so excited to see me win. So I'm like, I can't, like, I people have the right to their own opinion. And if you're going to be that kind of fan, like, I guess I wouldn't consider that a hater. That's an opinion. And I guess if you don't like me, that's totally. I'd imagine if everyone liked me, then I'd be doing something wrong. I wouldn't be very punk. So I'm used to it. I got a message not long ago from a fan, actually, who I guess at some point maybe I had some cross words with. I don't remember, but they said that they had mentioned that in the message, and they had, basically the post was running me down, telling me that they're so glad to see that I've never made anything of myself, that I've never made it to the big time, that I've always been an independent loser and I'll always remain that, or something. This is from months ago. And it really, what I felt was like, I don't remember this interaction. And if this person's still holding this interaction in their heart and holding this hatred towards me, then I'm sorry for them. Like, if you really, especially if you hate somebody you don't have any connection with, or that is really not done anything to you just because of their actions or the way they act or what kind of person they are, then you're holding all that hate all day long inside of you. So I feel for my haters, I would say.
Gotcha. And so next question, at ScottyDA78 on Twitter, how is performing in front of American and Canadian crowds different? And second part to that, what do you do differently, if you do anything differently, in front of one crowd or another?
That's a good question. I really love thank you for the question. I really love the Canadian fans and the American fans, and just the differences. In America, I find it depends where you are. It's state by state, it's city by city, and that goes by province and city by city up in Canada as well. I find that sometimes working in front of smaller crowds in smaller towns can sometimes be a little bit more challenging, and I'll sometimes tame my act down a little bit there. I'm not necessarily going to go out there lips ablazing in front of some crowds that feel a little bit more conservative. Being from Calgary, was more of a conservative-based crowd, so there was a little bit more hostility towards some of the characters there. But really, it's... you never really know. It's more, I think it's more promotion based. So it's kind of like and that's why like Defy is so great, is because they've built such a great community, and it's kind of the community that's built by the promotion and how they advertise themselves and the people that they associate with. I think that really, it comes from the top down. So I would say it's more the promotions that rather than the countries.
Gotcha. And this one's from at producer_Rob. He works with Brian Alvarez over on their shows. How about describe the feelings and thoughts going through your head when the referee counted three and you realized you were the Defy champion? We might have talked a little bit about this earlier, but give a little thought on that.
It's cheesy, but, and by no means do I mean to sound like I'm deserving and I deserved this a long time ago, but my honest instant thoughts were, at
last. I love that.
That's what I heard in my head.
That's excellent, man. And let's see here. And then at Legacy of Soul on Twitter. And you gave him a nice kiss before that match started. He says it was his first time. Was it good for you as it was for him?
Of course, and that's why I won. Like, how else would I have won? It was clearly, like, that smooch which gave me the power to take on the ultimate, the mighty Shaft, the baddest in pro wrestling.
And then he also said, what would you tell younger you?
Oh, wow. stay true. Ride through the bad times, because they make the good times that much sweeter.
Nice. And then I had a couple of people ask, and my good friend Philip Jones over there at PJ Tanton 71, and also a guy named Jonathan Langfelder asking, who are some of the people you would like to defend that Defy Worldwide Championship against when you come back?
Oh, geez, there's so many people. I've known Jeff Cobb for a long time, and he's a phenomenal talent. So I'd love to lock horns with Jeff. I'd love to see how far he could throw suplex me from a hug. Personally, that's what I want to see. Or a kissplex would be fun as well. I want to wrestle. We've met and lovely individual, and I'd love to lock horns with Effie. Effie would be great. Gregory Irons, I'd love to work with. Who else is out there that I? There's so many. The list is. I'd love to have a old school dungeon style match versus Davey Boy Smith Jr. I'd love to wrestle the recently released Rick Victor because we have a lot of history as well. There's also a great talent in Alberta, Michael Richard Blaze, and he's an upcoming, or like he's been around for a while. He's a long while, but he's phenomenal, and I'd love for the Pacific Northwest to get their eyes on him because he is like just so. So great, and I think something that the Pacific Northwest would really get behind. So I'd love to work against. I'd love to have a rematch against Joey Janela. I'd love to work. You know, like I mean, I don't know where the rules are, but I'd love to work Cody Rhodes. Yeah. I'd love to work Dustin Rhodes. I'd love to work Rikishi. There's a lot. The list goes on and on for sure. I'd love to continue on my path of working with people from ECW. That's been really fun. I'd love to work a little Guido or a little Spike Dudley or you know, anyone with little or Lil in their title, you know, I'd be willing to take on.
Sounds great, man. I got one or maybe two questions here from one last person, and he is at Joey Johnella on Twitter. His name's Future Joey. It's you know, formerly known as Streamer Club John on Twitter.
Yeah, I have a sneaking suspicion I know which John this is. Hey, brother.
How many more years do you think you have left in the tank?
Oh, that's a great question. I think I mentioned at the beginning of the year, I'd kind of cut a promo for Defy talking about how it was 2020. This was my 20th year in wrestling, which means it's 20 years of looking at myself in the mirror and saying, this is my year. I was thinking like, you know, like I've gone into the year thinking that this was maybe going to be my last year. That I was like, I don't want to be one of those guys who holds on too long. I see this up and coming talent that's really awesome and doing things that I would have done. And that's where like filling the void, like I see that they can fill the voids of people. And like for a long time, I didn't see, I didn't know where these other people were coming from. And now I see this great talent and by no means do I want to take a spot off a card for them. At any point, do I want to be the old guy who's doing that? So that I'm not going to give it a number right now with this scare that's going on. Like, why wouldn't we do the thing we love for as long as we can? So it's something that I go back and forth on. I was recently fortunate enough to like have a little bit of like time with Bret Hart, and I told him and he said, if you're still loving it, if you're still having fun, and you're still healthy, just keep doing it. And if I had quit when I thought before Defy, I would have been happy with all the things I'd done. I'd had great opportunities before that and done all sorts of very cool things and worked with awesome people, but we wouldn't be having this talk now. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have ever been shown my true self in the ring. I never would have been able to help the people I help in any little way that I maybe have helped them, and they wouldn't have been able to help me in the vast amounts of ways they've helped me. Mm. So I don't know. At this point, maybe a couple months ago, I would have told you something different. Maybe in a couple months, I'll tell you something different again. But as it stands right now, I've got a Defy Championship to defend.
Yeah.
And that's going nowhere anytime soon.
That's completely awesome. And he also asked real quick, what does winning that Defy Championship mean to you? We may have talked about that earlier. Just give us a couple quick words to end this before we get to heading off to the sunset.
Sweet. I can see the sunset in the distance. No, I, you know, there's that brand Obey. I've never been comfortable with any sort of brand, like wearing a brand on my shirt or anything like that, or really representing a brand and having that be who I am. And I think that Obey brand for a long time has really stuck in my head as one, like, I don't want to wear something that says Obey, but I'm damn proud to wear something that says Defy. That's what it means to me. I've been defiant since the day I was born. You can ask every teacher I've ever had. You can read it on my report cards. And to be wearing that Defy belt and to represent it, that's what I was born to do.
Randy, thank you so much, man. If anyone wants to find any Randy Myers merch, can we find that out there online, or we have to see you in person, or what's going on with that?
Oh, you can definitely find my merch on Pro Wrestling Tees at the Weirdo Hero Shop, or Randy Myers. You can search me under both of those. You can find me on Twitter or reach out at Ravenous Randy, or on Facebook at Randy Myers, or the Weirdo Hero on Instagram. I've got, if you want to reach out for any sort of custom painting or anything like that, I do all sorts of different forms of art. I'll write you a little something, I'll send you a video. If there's anything that you fans are looking for or wanting from the Ravenous One and we can arrange something, well, then let's make those weirdo hero dreams come true.
Oh, and you're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all those kind of things?
Yeah, totally. And I'm totally open to DMs and talking with people and answering questions and helping us get through this and giving you a positive boost as best I can.
Hey, go support my buddy Randy Myers over here, the Ravenous One, the Weirdo Hero, man. And I appreciate you coming on here tonight. You know, when we talked earlier, right, I was like, hey, let's talk about 30, 45 minutes. Looking at my recorder, we're almost at an hour and a half, man. Good times. Awesome.
I'm slightly long-winded. I apologize.
No, totally fine. We're giving the fans what they want, plenty of time to listen to what you got to say, you know, because people don't tune in to really hear me, and I mean that really. They tune in to hear people like you and all the wrestlers, all the talents, all the promoters that come on the show and every week in Iowa. Just want to thank you so much for coming on this week and kind of telling what's going on and letting the folks hear what's going on with you.
Again, and thank you for having me on, and thanks for all that you're doing in the world too, because it's appreciated.
Hey, you're welcome, man, and we'll talk again soon.
For sure. Take care.
Have a good night. This episode recorded at the Bigfoot headquarters. This has been a Swagamore production.